I'm Laura Murphy Oates, and this is The Full Story. Andrew Lamming, a Liberal MP in Queensland, has had quite the month. So far, he's faced complaints of online harassment and inappropriate behaviour, an Electoral Commission investigation into his use of Facebook community pages, and questions over the allocation of grants. The government has said some of his behaviour, particularly his attacks on opponents through social media, is unacceptable, ordering him to take leave and undergo empathy training. But the opposition believes he has to go.
In my view, Andrew Lamming isn't fit to continue as a Member of Parliament.
So, what consequences will Andrew Lamming face? Today, the ongoing scandals of Andrew Lamming. It's Wednesday, the 14th of April. Okay, Sarah, so who is Andrew Lamming and what did you know about him prior to all of this?
Andrew Lamming is a MP from Queensland.
Sarah Martin is Guardian Australia's chief political correspondent.
He represents the seat of Bowman.
So I've said to represent Bowman is in some way to represent Australia because no one here could feel out of place.
Beautiful Bayside seat.
And as you drive from Brisbane over those somewhat soporific undulations of Bonner, and you arrive at the Bayside and that bay breeze greets you, you know you're in a very special community. And those pioneer families, of course, are...
He's always, I guess, had the reputation for being a bit of an oddball. He's known for being quite eccentric. He's not without controversy. He sees himself as someone who's very outspoken, a bit of a renegade, calls it how it is, but... You know, he's been in Parliament for a long time, 17 years, and has never really, you know, he hasn't risen up the ranks. He's just been a backbencher. He was briefly a parliamentary secretary, but he's just sort of been a mainstay on the coalition backbenchers.
A few weeks ago, he was accused of online harassment by two women. Can you talk us through just the basic details of their allegations and how he responded?
So this story was relating to his online behaviour, particularly his behaviour towards a woman who was involved in a charity. And one of the women, Alex Russo, complained that he had falsely accused her of misappropriating funds from a homeless charity.
Yeah, it's terrifying. And to be tarnished and discredited and defamed.
And she had told Nine News that she had contemplated suicide over what she described as his long-running harassment online.
Mm. I don't want to be attacked anymore. It's gone on for so many years.
The other woman was Sheena Hewlett, the wife of a local councillor, who revealed in the report that he had taken a photo of her and State Labor MP Kim Richards at a local park without their knowledge and then posted it online and sort of suggested they had no reason to be there.
To our Prime Minister, this man needs to stop. He cannot continue abusing his community like this.
Lamming knew this story was coming. He got up in Parliament before the news story broke at about 4 o'clock and preemptively apologised.
Speaker, today I was informed of the significant distress experienced by two of my constituents in my electorate as a result of my online commentary with them. And they are both highly regarded individuals within our Redland community. Today in this House, I want to retract those comments and issue a public unreserved apology. There are many lessons for this in me, in this experience, not just about words, but about the impact words can have on others. And I've made a concerted effort, Speaker, to understand the impact of these responses upon others and to demonstrate a clear change in the way I communicate.
But then soon after, he said he didn't know why he was apologising at 4 o'clock. And he went online and in a Facebook message, he said that he was surprised by the story and in this climate, I willingly apologise. And I get the climate we he was talking about there was, I guess, the climate in Parliament and in politics generally where we've seen a series of revelations about the alleged mistreatment and harassment of women.
So we've got a couple of women coming forward with complaints about Lamming's online behaviour. Was that all?
No. So this sort of prompted others to come forward. You know, we had Kim Richards, the state MP, coming out with examples of how he had treated her online over the years. And then on the following day, another woman comes forward, Crystal White.
Crystal White has kept quiet but says enough is enough and she needs to get this off her chest.
If I'm the only one that's going to be brave, then I'll do it to protect other people.
So Crystal White tells Channel 9 that Dr. Lamming took a photo of her while she was filling a fridge at a landscaping business in Brisbane in 2019. She said she was bending over, her underwear was exposed, and Andrew Lamming took a photo of her.
The photo was really inappropriate, especially when I was bent over.
The manager of the store who saw Dr. Lamming take the photo while she was bending over filling up the fridge, he asked Dr. Lamming to look at the phone and asked him to delete it.
What did Lamming say after the story aired?
Andrew Lamming said, he said she was completely dignified and she was in no way compromised. He thought it was an amusing situation. She was carrying an impossible amount of cans and his goal was to show a challenging work situation. He denied that the photo he took of the woman was inappropriate. He said that it was a humorous situation and he said that it had been reinvented as harassment.
My reaction is, how's that funny? What's funny about taking a picture of a lady bending over?
So what was the political reaction to all this, all of these scandals coming out within a matter of days, it sounds like?
Before the scandal over the photograph, there was sufficient pressure on the government.
And will you accept this behaviour in your party group?
No, I won't. And I spoke to him again this morning.
And he was ordered into empathy training.
And I'm arranging for Mr. Lamming, for Andrew Lamming, to now go into... get appropriate assistance for an appropriate course to build his understanding and awareness about his actions. And I think this is one of the
after
important things
the
that we need to do.
Story broke that he had taken the photograph of this woman unbeknownst to her, Andrew Lamming then put out a statement saying that he would step down from his parliamentary roles.
And was that the end of it?
No, that wasn't the end of it. So this was on the Saturday. By Sunday, the pressure clearly was mounting within government to go further. We had two Liberal MPs come out on Sunday morning saying they didn't think he was fit to remain in Parliament and they asked him to consider his future. And then shortly after that, we learnt that Andrew Lamming had told the Prime Minister that he would not contest the next election.
Well, the Prime Minister spoke to Andrew yesterday and made it very clear what was expected of our MPs.
We found this out when the Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, stood up on Sunday morning.
And Andrew has reflected on that conversation with the Prime Minister. And following that conversation with the Prime Minister, he has decided not to recontest the next election.
I guess the subtext to that is the suggestion that the Prime Minister told him his behaviour was unacceptable and he didn't want Andrew Lamming to contest the next election.
The LNP will find a new candidate and... that will be up to the pre-selectors.
Josh Frydenberg said that Andrew would take time to seek some support.
He's going to take some time to have this additional support and various sessions that he's going to be engaged in.
But then, almost in the next sentence, he maintained that he was a fit and proper person to remain in the coalition party room.
He will return to the parliament in the budget week.
Because, of course, Andrew Lamming is the 76th person in the House of Representatives representing the coalition, and so without him, the government loses its majority on the floor of Parliament.
So this is a pretty fine balance for the government to strike. Did Lamming also say anything about this sudden change of heart by the government on the Sunday?
So he issues a statement that says he wants to own his mistakes, that he hasn't demonstrated a sufficient understanding to how his actions have affected others. He's going to book himself into empathy training the very next morning and clinical counselling, and has said he won't recontest the next election in any capacity and ask for privacy, which a few people think is somewhat ironic given the way he has treated others.
So he's put on leave, ordered into various types of training, and may have been encouraged not to run again. But ultimately, he's still in the parliament. He's still in the Liberal Party. I'm wondering if you can talk me through that decision.
Well, there's a couple of things going on here. One, the Prime Minister can't sack Andrew Lemming. He's a member of parliament. He is put there by the people of Bowman. They elected him, and effectively he can't really be sacked. He can be expelled from the party and subsequently from the coalition party room, and that would just mean he went to the crossbench if he was unwilling to quit parliament. So he could make the decision to quit parliament and trigger a by-election, and he might do that if sufficient pressure was put on him by the party. But by-elections never go well for governments, and in this particular climate where we know the government isn't tracking particularly well, it would really be in Labor's sides to try and win that seat off the government, which would be fairly perilous for the coalition.
So it sounds like there's not a lot of great options on the table for the government here.
No, that's right. It's sort of one of those things where they want to talk boldly and give the impression that they're taking strong action against Andrew Lemming, but at the end of the day, they don't want him out of parliament. They want to keep him in the tent if they can.
So the stakes are pretty high, but keeping him on at this point also does have some risks.
Oh, absolutely, it has some risks. I think the risk is that further revelations about his behaviour will emerge, and that will continue to be a distraction for the government. But at this stage, they are just going to sustain the hit and hope that this story goes away.
Next, further revelations emerge. I mean, this is a lot of stories to come out in a short period of time about one MP. As a political journalist in Canberra, what were you doing at this time? How are you responding?
Well, what tends to happen in these circumstances is it's like Andrew Lemming, like the klaxons start going off, his name is up in lights, and you're like, let's just have a little closer look at this guy. Like that's what you do in these situations. You put your focus onto someone who is in the headlines.
And what else did you discover?
So I started having a look. I mean, obviously, a lot of this was about Andrew Lemming's online behaviour. So I just started having a dig around some of his Facebook activity. Mm-hmm. And I got a tip from a local who was concerned about another aspect of Lemming's online activity. And this was to do with Facebook pages that were suspected of being operated by Andrew Lemming, even though a lot of these pages were set up as community groups or news groups or even one as an education group. And we found out that he was operating a community page for each suburb in his electorate.
So he has a kind of network of Facebook pages. What type of pages are we talking about exactly, and what were they being used for?
So one example is the Facebook page operating as the Redland Bay Bulletin. Now, that uses a very similar name to the local news site, which is the Redland City Bulletin. So it's set up to look like a community news group. It was labelled as a community group. Mm. The page had a statement claiming that one of its purposes was to update the issues and keep a close eye on politicians and their promises. It was very much presented as if this was a neutral forum for community discussion. But the posts had frequent links to Andrew Lemming's official material, Liberal National Party advertising, frequent attacks on the Labor Party, including the local state member, Kim Richards. It was very clearly political. Another one, for example, was called the Redlands Institute, and it was set up as an education group. It was supposedly a forum for balanced discussion of major issues. There is no Redlands Institute that we have been able to find. There's no evidence that it exists. And this was one that was set up by Andrew Lamming. I understand that there are other administrators now involved, but it was certainly one that he set up initially.
Hmm.
This page has, you know, stories that cast doubt on climate science. It has anti-Labor and anti-Greens propaganda. It links to Lamming's official LNP material. So again, an example of how he used these pages for his own political purposes without any disclosure of his political link to those pages.
How did you figure out his link to these pages?
We were able to find in some of the comments that he basically outs himself as being the person posting. So, for example, the Redland Bay Bulletin, someone complains about the site's bias, and one of the administrators says, you know, says that this page was created by Andrew but is now administered by several locals. We don't know who they are. On the Redland Institute page, for example, he posts a link to one of his Facebook Live events and refers to himself in the first person, says, "You can ask me a question below."
So he posts as the page, as an administrator, saying, "Hey, here's some of my content. Ask me questions about me" underneath this.
Yes. But he's like the Redland Institute. Ask me, the Redland Institute. So that's sort of how there was enough there that we were able to link them to back to him. I also know it to be the case that they were all operated through his official Facebook login.
Hmm. Okay, so he set up and helps run these pages that look like they're by and for the community, but he's really spreading political messages. Is this breaking any rules about how politicians are supposed to act online and talk about themselves and the party?
It's unclear at the moment, and Andrew Lamming hasn't commented on it, but possibly. Let me talk you through this. So according to the Australian Electoral Commission, political authorisation is required when information is communicated, which is intended to influence the way someone votes at an election. So that's why most politicians' Facebook pages will include a political authorisation in the About section. They will say all content is authorised by yada, yada, yada MP. It's the same little message they get at the end of any political ad.
Yeah, that really, really fast authorisation message, yeah.
Correct.
So what happened when you revealed this?
So we broke the story about the Facebook pages the day after Easter Monday, and within 24 hours, the AEC had said they would investigate. They beefed up disclosure laws after the 2016 election, and that explicitly included social media posts. And it's really interesting because this part of the Electoral Act has not been tested. They haven't penalised anyone under these laws yet. Now, the AEC have a bit of a reputation for being a little bit, can I say piss weak?
You can.
They don't often fine people for breaches of the Electoral Act. Often, if someone has left off a political disclosure, it's an oversight, the AEC contacts them, says, "Hey, you need a disclosure." The politician says, "Oh yeah, whoops, sorry about that." They put it on. Life goes on. They don't prosecute.
Mm.
This is a pretty extreme example of where there's a lot of pages. It's clearly not just an oversight. There's no disclosure anywhere to be seen.
Mm.
So it's going to be very interesting to see how this proceeds. The AEC has already been in contact with Facebook requesting information. And since our report, some of those pages have been deleted, which may make it more difficult for the AEC to investigate. But yes, it's going to be very interesting to see where it lands.
As you mentioned, there was a few different leads that you were following around this time. Was this the end of your reporting on Lamming?
So, no. 2 days after the Facebook story, we broke another story about grants to a particular club in his electorate.
Okay, talk me through that.
So we uncovered that a $550,000 grant had gone to a rugby club with links to one of his staff members. And this was a grant that was part of the government's controversial female sports facilities grants program, which of course was this massive $150 million fund that was spent during the 2019 election campaign. So this grant scheme was special because it was not open for applications. It was not assessed, the recipients were not assessed by the department. The grants were nominated by the government as election commitments and then ticked off by the department. So sort of slightly different grant process and slightly less departmental oversight than normally applies to these types of grants. And this particular grant we uncovered was awarded to the Southern Bay Cyclones Rugby Union Club. And why that is interesting in the context of Lamming is that the secretary of this rugby club is married to Lamming's electorate officer.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
So there's a personal link there. And it wasn't the only grant there. That this club received five over the past 3 years, and four of these were nominated by the MP. They were through the Volunteer Grants Program and the Stronger Communities Program, all which have a link to Lamming, and all which went to this club with the personal link to his electorate officer.
So there's one big grant of $550,000 given to this sports club that has links to one of Lemming's staff members just before the 2019 election, and a few other smaller grants given out at other times. Do we know if any rules were broken with these grants?
The problem with these grants is there weren't really many rules in the first place. So it's very difficult to break a rule when they don't exist. So obviously there was some due diligence done by the department, but these were election commitments. So the government could spend this money wherever they wanted. Now, there are issues that require disclosures of conflict of interest. It's unclear to me whether those conflicts, potential conflicts of interest, were disclosed.
So you're unsure if this conflict was declared over some of these grants at the time?
We do not know if there was any disclosure of the personal link between Andrew Lamming and his electoral officer and the club secretary. We don't know that. The department has declined to answer that question, and Andrew Lamming is not commenting on this story.
So, Sarah, this is a lot of controversy. We've got complaints of online harassment and inappropriate behaviour, an electoral commission investigation into his use of Facebook community pages for apparently political purposes, and questions over the allocations of grants. Where to now for Lamming?
Well, look, never a dull moment for Andrew Lamming, because while he was on leave after saying he wouldn't contest the next election, he then put his hand up for pre-selection and changed his mind about retiring, deciding to go through the process with the Liberal National Party to run again.
How did this happen?
Well, it's a very good question, and it's a very Lamming-esque move, if I could be so bold, just because he has a reputation for being a bit mercurial. So basically he changed his mind about retiring, decided to push on with the pre-selection process, and that meant he had to go through the party's candidate vetting committee, which basically determines whether or not someone is fit to run for a seat. He went through that process on Monday, and the findings from that particular committee were put to the state executive, and they accepted the recommendation that he should not recontest his seat.
So he was barred from moving ahead with pre-selection. Do we know why he changed his mind and tried to stand again?
Look, there's some suggestion that he did it because he wanted to, I think the expression used in another report on this was that he wanted to acquit himself before the LNP. It was sort of put to me that he, because of the way he had sort of talked about the allegations against him, saying that they'd been reinvented as harassment, that he didn't think he'd done anything wrong with the photograph and so on, that he didn't feel that his behaviour was sufficiently inappropriate for him to have lost endorsement from the Liberal National Party.
Mm.
I mean, we know that even though he offered apologies for offending anyone, he still sort of suggested that, you know, his behaviour was okay.
At the moment, Lamming will be back in politics in the next few weeks and serving for the parliament until, you know, the next election. Do you think that the government's handling of the complaints about Lamming so far sends the wrong message about the consequences that people in their party and people in government will face when they behave inappropriately?
Yeah, it's a really good question, because, again, we go back to this problem about consequences for MPs compared to consequences for employees in the rest of the real world. And unfortunately, the consequence for MPs is to face the voters at the next election. By and large, this sort of misconduct isn't captured by those provisions, and it's very difficult for an MP to lose their seat in any way other than at an election. The party's decision to not endorse him for the next election is actually going to open up the pre-selection contest to an interesting field of candidates, including to females. So I guess given the debate we're having about female representation in Parliament, particularly on the coalition side, then hopefully this will lead to a change that sees another female elected into the House of Representatives.
That's it for today. Thanks to Sarah Martin for her time. You can check out her reporting on Lamming at theguardian.com. This episode was produced by Ellen Lee Beater and Joe Koning. The executive producers of Full Story are Gabrielle Jackson and Miles Martignoni. If you liked this episode, don't forget to leave a rating or a review. Okay, catch you tomorrow.